the rest of it off, so again.
January election.
I don't want to sign P. North Carolina.
Today's Senate file, Senate file 162, addressing voluntary full-day kindergarten. Senate file 2, Senator Clausen. Welcome to the committee, Senator Clausen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Greg Clausen. I'm a member of the Minnesota Senate, and I represent District 57, which is Rosemont, Apple Valley, Coates, and Northeast Lakeville. And Mr. Chair and committee, it's my pleasure to be here this morning. Thank you so much. I'd like to start out as we talk about Minnesota Senate File Number 2, the funding of voluntary all-day kindergarten, taking you back a few years, maybe to your kindergarten experience. If you look at handouts that I have, if we could get those out to people, please. I think a lot of you are perhaps familiar with Robert Flugum. He wrote a book back in 1988, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Most of what I really need to know about how to live and what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate school mountain, but there in the sand pile at school. And some of the things in his book that he talked about that you learn in kindergarten are to share everything, play fair, clean up your own mess, wash your hands before you eat, warm cookies and cold milk are good for you, and remember to flush, amongst other things. Now, things have changed since 1988. But the need for a strong foundation for learners remains the same. And perhaps it's even more critical in today's world. We're faced with a lot of social issues, a lot of things that are confronting our society that are real challenges, not only to education, but to families and young people. And so today, some of the things that today we'd like to talk about, we're going to review some kindergarten enrollment data. We're going to talk about the current status of kindergarten in Minnesota. We'll talk about the components that are in Senate File Number 2, funding voluntary all-day kindergarten. We'll also talk about why all-day kindergarten, and an overview of Minnesota all-day kindergarten studies. And then I was being overly optimistic by saying we'll hear from supporters. Let's start out talking about kindergarten enrollment. Currently, about 74% of children are enrolled in all-day kindergarten programs in the United States. When you look at Minnesota, we have about 57% of our children enrolled in all-day kindergarten programs, and we have another 17% that are enrolled in fee-based programs. And these are decisions that have been made by local school districts to fund all-day programs, as we'll see. Having a lot of success. Here we go. School districts may institute a fee-based program, as we mentioned, and they can set their own fee-based amounts. In many districts here in Minnesota, it's between $300 and $400 a month for the full-day program. District 196, which is the Rosemont-Apple Valley-Eagan Public Schools, where I was an educator for over 30 years, we have a fee-based program. Annually, there are about 20 families that drop out during the course of the year because the amount of payment just becomes too much for them. We also have school districts that have a lottery system for all-day kindergarten, and this creates winners and losers. And there's a lottery system to determine who gets in, who does not. And then Minnesota is about one of 12 states in the nation that does not provide extra funding for all-day kindergarten programs. I'd like to review some of the statutory provisions currently in place here in Minnesota. Minnesota school districts are currently not required to fund all-day kindergarten. They are required, however, to offer half-day kindergarten programs. And also, students must be 5 years old before entering kindergarten. But also, a lot of provisions have been made in many districts where they have an early start. It's usually determined by the student's ability to handle a kindergarten program. Come on. There we go. And the minimum number of instructional hours is 425 hours per school year, and these are, again, prescribed in statute. Funding for all-day kindergarten in Minnesota. A half-day kindergarten students are counted as a 0.612 per pupil unit. When you look at assessment data, a child needs to be assessed before going into kindergarten. Many times the kindergarten roundup, as it's referred to. Let's look at some of the components of Minnesota Senate File 2, all-day kindergarten proposal. Funding would be provided for school districts to offer all-day kindergarten. All-day kindergarten implementation is voluntary for districts, and it's also voluntary for parents. Kindergarten students are counted at 0.612 units for half-day kindergarten programs. Currently, that's approximately $3,100. And 1.115 pupil units is a proposal for all-day kindergarten programs, which is a little over $5,800. That's our current by the Minnesota Department of Education. The 1.115 per pupil units is also consistent with what we're doing currently for grades 1 through 3 in the state of Minnesota. The minimum number of instructional hours for all-day kindergarten would be 850 hours per school year. So these are some of the proposals. And implementation would take place in fiscal year 2015, which would be the 2014-2015 school year. Annual total cost is estimated to be $170 million for all-day kindergarten. If we look at the Governor Dayton's budget proposal, he's proposing $40 million in new funding for all-day kindergarten as part of his budget proposal.
And then funding would be... Excuse me, Senator Claussen. Yes. Members, there is a fiscal note at your table. We'll review that after we've heard from testifiers, but more detail is provided. Okay. Proceed.
Thank you. There have been many, many studies that have done on the effectiveness of all-day kindergarten. I think as we look at this, it's a significant education investment, and it's also a commitment to education for all children. And I think we need to really emphasize all. There would be no more lotteries. There'd be no more waiting lists. There'd be no more fees for parents. And it would affect all students in the state. There have been, as I mentioned, a number of studies. Pretty good. And we will be providing a packet of summary studies that have been done for all the committee members here later today. Children who attend all-day kindergarten learn more in reading and math. Those are some gains in the basic skills, very important. These are just, again, some sampling and some studies. 30% more time is spent on reading, 46% more time spent on math. In all-day programs, and these, of course, are critical basic skills, again, for school success. And then all-day kindergarten leads to what we call executive functioning skills. These are skills that you learn early in life that are extremely important to you to function in society. Things like managing time and attention, the ability to switch focus from topic to topic, how do you go about planning and organizing various aspects of your life in your day. Executive functions are also curbing inappropriate speech or behavior, and also the ability to integrate past experiences with current things that you're experiencing. If you'd like more information on this, there's a Dr. Ann Mastin at the University of Minnesota that has done longitudinal studies through the University of Minnesota and the Minneapolis Public Schools, and she has done a great deal of work. But again, it's part of that foundation that is so important. From an economic perspective, let's look at Aldi Kindergarten. Many of you attended, as I did, the One Minnesota Conference earlier this month at the Humphrey Institute, University of Minnesota. And there was a presentation that was made by the Minneapolis-St. Paul Regional Economic Partnership. And one of the things that really struck me that day was that our 13-county region, two counties in Wisconsin, 11 counties surrounding the metropolitan area, is the 44th largest economy in the world. We're larger than many countries. And you think about that. The study that was presented that day went on to say that the number one regional asset is our talented workforce. And so we need to continue to invest in that workforce. All-day kindergarten is one of those investments, as you shall see. Well, maybe we've run out of luck here. There we go. As I was saying, all-day kindergarten is an investment in the future of Minnesota. There have been a number of cost-benefit studies that have been regarding all-day kindergarten. And for every $1 invested, there are studies that show there's a $4 to $12.90 return. Also, I think it's interesting to note there's an estimated savings of public services for people that attend all-day kindergarten of over $195,000. There's also studies that show there's greater earnings by students that have attended all-day kindergarten programs through their lifetime, and there's fewer criminal justice contacts. Let's look at some specific Minnesota studies, and again, you'll be receiving additional information. Probably the most comprehensive study that's been done has been Burnsville Public Schools, and you'll see that it was in conjunction with the University of Minnesota, and they found significant increases on every academic skill measurement by pre- and post-testings, and they've tracked that group, and the achievement gap they found has been narrowed. That's a very comprehensive study, and again, we'll get that study in its entirety to you in that packet. Stillwater also has done work. I'll just quickly go through these. Winona, similar results that they have had. learning disabled students, they've been able to lower that number of students that they've identified. Other studies, Minneapolis has done many studies on all-day kindergarten. And I think the major thing there is narrowing the achievement gap between white students and students of color. Mankato has done similar studies. I'd like to leave with just a couple of thoughts. And I want to emphasize this first quote by the National Education Association, all children. This is a program for all children. As I mentioned before, no more waiting lists. No more lotteries. This would be a program for all children. And when you think back to your own days of door knocking as we were campaigning, there are two things that I talked a lot at the doors with people and civic events. One was the budget. We needed to make sure that we had a sustainable budget going ahead for the state of Minnesota. Second, because of my background in education was going to be a priority for me. And I think that one of the things that we also talked about at Doors, and I found out, is that one of the major challenges that we have facing our legislature today is identifying priorities. What are the values? What are the things of importance? What are the things that will move Minnesota ahead? And I really believe that all-day kindergarten will make a difference in the state of Minnesota. It's an investment in our state. It's an investment in our children. It's an investment in our business community, and it'll ultimately determine the quality of life for our citizens. And I thank you very much, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to be here. I know that we have a number of people that will be testifying today, but if you have any questions at this time, I certainly can respond to those.
Senator Clausen, I think we're going to go right to the testifiers. We have 13 that have indicated, 12 proponents, one that has some concerns they wanted to share. I
I want to make sure if there are people that are not on the list in advance, please let us know and we'll do our very best to accommodate. We would ask too for testifiers to focus on that message. If it's been repeated in a previous testifier, maybe you can indicate agreement. So, or synthesize your best points. Otherwise, we'll have to continue to another date. And we'll do that if necessary. So we have
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Senator Klussen, you're welcome to stay up at the table, perhaps to the left or right, with your testifiers. We have listed in order first Fred Sardi and Joey Page. And welcome, and you know the procedure, and state your name, organization, and please proceed.
Good morning, Senator Wieger, Senators. I'm Fred Sardi, Executive Director of the Minnesota Elementary School Principals Association, and
I'm Joey Page. I'm the President-Elect of the MESPA Association, and I'm also a elementary principal at the Richfield STEM School, which is a science, technology, engineering, math elementary school in the Richfield Public Schools.
Welcome. We got some handouts coming around, if we would, so those should be with you in just a minute. But thank you so much. I can't tell you how excited we are to see this on the agenda and in the governor's budget. For over 10 years, the Minnesota Elementary School Principals Association has had this as one of the top legislative priorities. And when you see this little brochure coming around here, you'll see on the front that high-quality, aligned age 3 to grade 3, including all-day kindergarten, is one of our top priorities. And you'll see inside here a little piece that talks about how important research is with coordinated systems of early childhood education and K-3, what a difference it can make for students. Last week, when Senator Klussen called me, I decided that I'd do a real quick survey of our members. We have about 800 active members in the state of Minnesota in the Elementary Principals Association. And so I apologize for the informal look of this. My staff is in the middle of getting ready for a big convention we're having next week. But I wanted to share with you the results of the survey that we ran just 2 days last week. We get 246 responses to these 10 questions here. So if you'll pull this out, I'm just going to touch on about five of the questions here and what the results were. Question number four there says, do you have all-day, everyday kindergarten at your school? And of those 246 responses, 210 of the principals said yes, 30 said no, and there were 6 no responses. More importantly, question number five is, how is it funded? And Senator Klussen alluded to different funding types. And the question we asked, is it funded by the general fund? 51 of those principals said yes. Is it funded by fee-based? 43 of the principals said yes. And is it funded by other sources, such as compensatory education, Title I, and so on? We had 34 respond to that. And then there were about 118 responses that weren't quite sure of how it was funded. But that's a critical thing in our kindergarten conversation. On the flip side, there's just a couple more questions I want to allude to. And that is, number 7, has all-day kindergarten improved your students' achievement? And out of that 246, 200 said yes, 7 said no, and there were 39 no responses. And then the last question I wanted to just focus on was, do you have data that demonstrates this? 163 said yes, 50 said no, and 39 no responses. The other thing I just wanted to touch on shortly is the comments we got from principals. So if you take a look at this sheet here, you'll see that there, I just picked out about a dozen comments from our members. Let me just highlight a couple. The first one at the top of the sheet says, we have funded 0.5 FTEs for each of our 3 kindergarten teachers' salaries, totally 1.5 FTE from Title I funds. This takes a huge bite out of the Title I funds, but we think it's worth it. So as we know, when we do that, it takes it away from other programs that we could be doing. Here's another one. The third one down there is from a superintendent in central Minnesota. He said, we are currently run a 0.6 kindergarten. Funding is at 0.612. We can only provide that because of the funding. If funded for everyday K, we have space and we'd be happy to hire the teachers. Please do what we can to get all day K funded for everyone. I've seen the research, and everyday K is a great investment. And if I could ask you to flip it over, and I'll just refer to one more comment. And this is a little longer one, but I think it really kind of tells the story out there. And this is the comment. It goes like this. As we look at pre-K through grade 12 education in Minnesota law, there is only one grade level that we could instantly grant more learning time across the whole state. Since kindergarten is not mandatory, we do not have a consistent approach to how schools program for kindergarten. We are fee-based. There are many students who do not get into all-day kindergarten because of the fee. Unfortunately, this sets up a playing field of the haves and the have-nots. The students who are not in all-day kindergarten are often students that could use it the most in order to better prepare for the rigors of first grade. Only they are in first grade. Once they're in first grade, we will never have an opportunity to give the students the luxury of more time again. So taking away the cost will even the playing field and give everyone a chance to have all-day kindergarten. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Storty, and please proceed.
Yes. I've been a principal for 10 years. I've had the opportunity to be a principal outstate and in an urban setting, and having been an administrator of different kindergarten programs, half day, all day, every other day, and then where I'm currently at in Richfield is all day, every day. We have 175 kindergartners in my building, and the thing that I think that Mr. Storty had pointed out too was the gift of more time. Looking at our students' needs and our demographics for our building, we have a large ESL population. We have many of these students that come to our country that experience a silent year, and kindergarten gives them an opportunity to not only participate in school but get accustomed to what we are doing with them all day. From a teaching perspective, it also affords more time for the social maturity of students. I heard a little bit earlier about the executive skills. Kindergarten is very academic now, and some will say we've pushed first grade into kindergarten, but we expect a lot out of our kindergartners. You see that with the state literacy plan for K-3. It is very academic and prepares them for those high standards as they move through the elementary school years. As far as families, it does give an opportunity for all students to participate in school. And I think that's very important that as we look at educating all of our children, that we're affording them the gift of more time with high-quality education. They're in our schools, and when we have them longer, good things happen. So I'm very happy that for my building in our district that we can provide this for students. We do it a couple ways, as the survey indicated, through general funds and through some compensatory funds. And those are competing funds for other things we have in our building. But if anything we do in our building, all-day kindergarten is our greatest program that we have for our kids.
Thank you, Mr. Page. I think we'll, unless there's a real pertinent question, I think we will continue on with the testimony because of the numbers that we have here to present. So thank you. Keep your questions for later if you have one that you think of.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Next from District 622, we have, and I would ask that all three of you would come up together, Jim McClosich, Delene Sanders, and Jenna Peters, please. Thank you. Tell us about your program and how it's working.
Thank you, Ms. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jim McClosich, and I'm the principal of Richardson Elementary School in North St. Paul.
I'm Darlene Sanders, kindergarten teacher in District 622, Richardson Elementary School.
And I'm Jenna Peters. I'm an instructional coach and teacher in District 622, Richardson Elementary.
So as you know, we are here from the North St. Paul Maplewood Oakdale School District, and we are here to talk to you about the proven benefits of an all-day kindergarten program. We know that you are looking for data-driven ways to close the achievement gap and make Minnesota students more prepared to compete in our global economy. We're going to talk to you a little bit today about the structural differences you would find between a half-day kindergarten program and an all-day kindergarten program, structural differences that allow for greatly increased rigor for our students. We're also going to be sharing with you data that will show you significantly closed achievement gaps and an overall rise in student achievement. North St. Paul is an inner-ring suburb that has seen a great deal of change in the past 12 years. We're a middle-class community that has experienced a rapid rise in poverty and diversity. You have graphs in front of you that show you that from 2000 to 2006, kindergarten students in our school district receiving a free lunch doubled from 12% to 25%. These are the students that are traditionally overrepresented in the achievement gap and students that are often involved in costly special education programming. During this six-year span, our school district saw test scores that trailed the state MCA averages in both reading and math, and we were facing yearly budget cuts. In 2007, we knew we needed to make some changes. With budgets continuing to tighten and funds continuing to be short, the decision was made to move to an all-day, everyday free kindergarten program. We immediately saw internal measures as soon as first grade showing that our students were going into first grade with significantly improved reading scores. 3 years later, we began to see this trend make an impact on our MCA scores. We raised achievement across all subgroups, gaps between minority students and white students began to close, and special education counts began to stabilize and even drop. Over the following 3 years, our school district has now surpassed the state in student achievement in the area of math, and we've nearly caught the state in student achievement in the area of reading. The gap between our white students and students of color has closed significantly, 10% in all areas, and our special education counts, as I said earlier, are dropping. These numbers have been recorded as our students of color and free and reduced population has once again doubled, and now in North St. Paul, over 50% of our students are students of color and students receiving a free or reduced lunch. The changing demographics and shrinking resources that we have faced would typically spell achievement doom, but with the support of a rigorous and well-planned all-day kindergarten program, 622 has beaten the odds at the elementary grades. Jenna Peters, teacher and instructional coach, is going to now share with you some of the differences that you would find in a half-day kindergarten program and an all-day kindergarten program.
Before you begin, Ms. Sanders, how many English learning students do you have in your kindergarten classes?
We are at about 15%, and we have roughly 750 to 800 students, so you'd be talking over 100.
Thank you.
As we look at the difference between a full
day... If you want to identify yourself for
record,
please.
My name is Jenna Peters, and I'm an instructional coach and teacher at Richardson Elementary. As you look at the differences between a full day and a half day program, rigor seems to be the key. In a full day program, teachers have the time to teach the rigor of our academic standards, and this rigorous instruction is what is helping us to close achievement gaps. Because we have higher academic standards for our students, kindergarten has changed dramatically over the last decade or so. While it's still a place where kids come to school to learn important social skills and work habits, it's also a place where developing early academic skills becomes crucial to later learning success. When you start to take a look at the full-day and half-day program, you'll notice that many of the components of the day are the same, but when you take a closer look, there are some key differences. In the area of reading instruction, for example, you can see that in a full-day program, teachers are able to provide instruction at a much deeper level, and you can see that the different components of reading occur on a daily basis. Word work and shared reading, read aloud, reader's workshop, all of these can be taught daily, whereas in a half-day program, they're shared across the week. The same can be said for small group instruction. Kindergarten teachers in an all-day, everyday program are able to provide targeted small group instruction daily in their classrooms. Teachers have about 35 to 40 minutes each day to provide this instruction, which means they can meet with two to three groups of students each and every day, provide for specific needs, whereas in a half-day program, it's maybe 20 minutes twice a week. So in a half-day program, that time is cut by about two-thirds. In our district, we've also seen dramatic growth in the area of math, and when you compare math instruction in an all-day program versus a half-day program, you can see that the time devoted to math instruction in a full program almost doubles. When you start to look at hours across a school year, kindergartners spend almost 1,200 hours in school in our district in a full-day program, as compared to a half-day program, it was closer to 400 hours. The term half-day is somewhat misleading because it really is almost about a third of the time. And you can see the impact on instruction as well as you start to look at minutes. Minutes in a full-day, in our full-day kindergarten are 390 minutes a day, whereas in a half-day program, it's about 150. Even more striking is the instructional time in academics that is cut. Reading is cut significantly, as well as writing and math. The other thing I wanted to point out today is that in a full-day program, there's a lot of added value. Our students receive specialist time in STEM, gym, and the arts. There's an opportunity for early intervention through RTI. There's increased time for social and emotional activities, and there's more opportunities for play and less structured time with their peers and breakfast and lunch at school. So as you can see, the key difference between a full-day program and a half-day kindergarten program is academic rigor. In a half-day program, the opportunity to provide rigorous academic instruction is greatly diminished. All-day kindergarten provides us the opportunity to balance our high academic rigor with the quality social and emotional experiences that we need in kindergarten, making it possible for us to shift our student achievement.
If you could take a look at slides 8 and 9, they begin to show you some of the data that our school district has been able to collect over the past 6 years. The first two graphs on slide 8 and slide 9, they are third grade MCA test scores. The line across the top is students, or our students, that have had the all-day, everyday kindergarten experience in 622. But the yellow line in the middle, which disappears halfway through, would be students also in 622 who had a half-day K experience. You'll notice that line ends in 2009 because beginning in 2007, all students started to attend all-day K. Therefore, we can no longer compare the two groups. But you can see that in a typical year, the all-day kindergarten students greatly exceeded the half-day students on standardized measures. The third line across the bottom are students who come to us from other districts or parochial schools who've not had the all-day kindergarten experience. And once again, you can see that our all-day kindergarten students, when compared on the same measures, continually exceed them in achievement. Moving on to slides 10 and 11, 11 is a graph of what you see in slide 10. Looking at those same 2010 test scores, you can see that minority students who had the all-day kindergarten experience exceeded their peers in reading by at least 14.9% proficiency as measured by the MCA. When we go down to math, you can see that our African-American students were 27% above their peers. Asian and Hispanic students were also 12 and 7% above their peers, respectively. So again, comparing apples to apples, you can see that students who had the all-day kindergarten experience had significantly higher student achievement on the MCAs. There was a graph that was passed around to you, I believe. And what that graph shows is in 2007, graphed in blue, students who none of our third through fifth graders had an all-day kindergarten experience. The numbers show up for how they performed on the MCAs. Last year, 2012, was the first year that our third, fourth, and fifth graders all had experienced all-day, everyday K, and you can see that our achievement gaps closed by anywhere from 8 to 20%. And I know, Madam Chair, you asked at the beginning about LEP students, ELL students, and you can see that that gap closed by 20% since we've gone to all-day kindergarten in the area of achievement.
Delene Sanders, and I'm just going to give the parent perspective. After hearing all the data and reasons for all-day kindergarten funding is needed, I am here to tell you why our young learners need to continue to have all-day kindergarten. For most students coming from low-income families, their parents would love to have their children in early education, preschool, but they don't have that luxury. Their children start kindergarten already behind their peers, who have already had the early education and structure needed to be ready for kindergarten. All-day kindergarten gives children that did not have early learning experiences the time to gain skills, structure, and the rigor that will help to close the achievement gap that has already started at kindergarten level. These children deserve the time, the rigor, and the structure that all-day kindergarten provides so that they can get a good foundation for future learning. As you look at that next slide, we are in agreement with Senator Claussen, and the data shows it, that kids that have all-day kindergarten do improve, and they deserve it.
Just a few facts that we would like to leave you with. You've heard a lot about funding issues. All-day kindergarten in ISD 622 costs us $1.25 million more than a half-day program. We typically access general fund dollars and basically try to scrape together money from Title I compensatory ed, but it's money that we definitely could be spending elsewhere. We've been willing to make this $1.25 million commitment in spite of $23 million in budget cuts that our district has faced over the last 6 years. One of the things that I'm most proud of is sitting through budget cut meetings. High school administrators, middle school administrators have never once suggested that we let go of all-day K, even though it greatly impacts their class sizes and their programming at their level. When we talk about our MCA achievement going up, when we talk about closing gaps, we've done that as class sizes in our district have continued to grow. They've grown at the elementary level, they've grown at the secondary level, but we've been able to overcome that, and we do believe a quality all-day kindergarten experience is directly related to that. And finally, you know, we are very proud of the fact that our achievement gap has narrowed. As you look at that graph that we passed around, all minority subgroups are at least 10% more at standard in reading in 2012 compared to where they were in 2007. I'm also proud to say that our special education numbers have dropped by 1%. Now, that might not sound like much, but when you've gone from 25% free and reduced lunch and 25% students of color to 50% and your special education counts have actually gone down, it's truly amazing. Typically, as one goes up, the other goes up with it. So we have been able to realize some real funding savings by diverting students from special ed through this quality all-day K experience. As we leave you, I just would like to say I know that the governor has asked for you to engage in outcome-based budgeting, and I think as you look at outcomes, there's no more outcome-based program than all-day K. Thank you.
Mr. Klasich, for me it begs a question as to how much money have you saved in terms of your other programs? Have you done any analysis of that? And then secondly, I was questioning about how does it affect the class sizes in the upper grades?
Good question. I would be hard pressed to share those details with you today, but we could get back to you. But I think when you're talking about $1.24 million for the next year, one teacher we bill at about $70,000 a year. So if we were, you know, someone could do the math on that, but you can, you know, figure out how many additional teachers we could hire if we didn't have the all-day kindergarten experience. As for savings in other areas, the biggest area would be in the area of special education, and I don't have access to that budget in front of me, but we could check.
Mm-hmm. And members, it's because I feel like hopefully this program will help us to reduce some of our other costs, and then it becomes a self-paying program. Senator Torres-Ray, you had a question earlier.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm quite impressed with this statistics, and I'm curious about the breakdown between LEP and Hispanic students. First of all, I'm quite impressed with the statistic in terms of progress. It's almost double, like you said, for LEP. There has been a question with respect to increasing funding from 5 to 7 years, and I argue that perhaps quality of instruction is so much more important than early instruction than just years. And 7 years after we obtain, especially with young kids, that kind of progress, it seems like 7 years is not necessary. But then we need to increase funding for quality instruction, and that's different. But my question is related to this breakdown of Hispanic and LEP and whether or not LEP are incorporated into the Hispanic category or not, or you separate that?
No, they would be
incorporated. Sir, if you would, for each of you and other people who testify, for the record, we need to have an identification of your name.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jim McClausich, and the Hispanic students are represented within the LEP. Within our school district, we have two primary LEP populations, Hispanic and Hmong. And typically, it's pretty equal, the number of students receiving services under LEP, but they are rolled together under the LEP number, and Hispanic students are then broken out individually. Does that make sense?
Somewhat.
We could have LEP, we could have Hispanic students who are not LEP.
Okay, yeah, right.
Is what I'm
okay.
Getting at.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you,
yes.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. McClossage, I like this chart very much. My question is, looking back on your second slide comparing free and reduced lunch, do you have similar data that would show before and after rather than based on racial lines based on free and reduced lunch?
Madam Chair, Jim McClossage, yes. We do, Senator Pratt, and we could produce that for you if you'd like it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, panel. From North St. Paul, I guess it is, or District 622.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we will hear from District 196. If there's room for four, otherwise we'll talk to Jane Berenz, the superintendent, Julie Olson, director of elementary education, Miles Haugen, principal. You have a whole team here. Kathy Bodecker, kindergarten teacher.
Good morning, Chairperson and members of the Senate E-12 Education Finance Committee. My name is Julie Olson. I'm the Director of Elementary Education, and I have with me Miles Haugen, who's the principal at Deerwood Elementary, and kindergarten teacher Kathy Bodecker, who will also be sharing with you. Superintendent Berenz was unable to come today because of illness.
Okay. Thank you.
Rosemont Apple Valley Eagan is the fourth largest school district in the state with over 27,000 students. I've worked at the elementary for 38 years, first as a teacher, then as an elementary principal, and for the last 9 years as director of elementary ed. In the winter of 2004, we began to research the full-day kindergarten. Minnesota at the time was one of 24 states that did not offer funding for full-day kindergarten. Parents were asking for it to be offered consistently, and there were volumes that were written about the cognitive and social-emotional benefits of full-day kindergarten. Fewer transitions, less stress for parents and students, consistency of the setting with one teacher, more time to explore and to go in depth with learning. So in the fall of 2004, we began offering fee-based kindergarten or Kindergarten Plus in our district as an option for our parents in collaboration with community education. We began it with 6 classrooms, and it grew exponentially in the following 2 years to 45 classrooms across our 18 elementary schools where it has stayed. Currently, 51% of our students participate in the Kindergarten Plus program. We also offer kindergarten language experience, which is a half-day programming for some of our kindergarten language experience at no cost to them, giving them a full-day experience because of the significant gains and clear impact it has on their crucial beginning of their school experience. Between the two programs, a total of 56% of our students participate in full-day programming, and we've been at the 50% mark over the last 5 years. During that time, we have been tracking the achievement of the students in our full-day programming versus the half-day. We use standardized literacy assessments given to all students during the summer prior to first grade. The assessments help us to determine which students are in need of additional support in literacy to be successful as readers and writers. The results have been consistent. Even though we have almost twice the number of students in full-day kindergarten in poverty and 4 times as many English language learners as in the half-day program, significantly fewer qualify as needing the additional literacy support. Though we have attempted to keep the cost at a minimal level and do provide scholarships for families in poverty, we have many families who are not able to afford the cost of full-day programming. Currently, 47% of the students in our Title I schools, which are lower income, are in Kindergarten Plus, compared to 56% of the students in our non-title schools. Though this will help to raise achievement, it will not help to close achievement gaps, as it is not meeting the needs of our most at-risk learners. In fact, it potentially could widen that gap. We've noted with our middle-income families the squeeze that they experience. They don't qualify for scholarship funding and can't afford the cost in our current economy. We have growing numbers of families sign up and then have to drop before school starts because of family finances, or families stretching out payments over time, some as much as 4 years to pay for it, because they've seen the value of that full-day programming for their older children and want to have it for their younger ones as well. As a district, it's increasingly difficult to know those clear benefits both academically and socially and not be able to offer free, voluntary, full-day kindergarten. I applaud the wisdom and courage of this bill because of what it offers to our families, some of our youngest citizens, and the step that it will help us to take as a state to raise the bar and close achievement gaps for all of our students. I read recently full-day kindergarten isn't just smart education policy, it's smart economic policy, as it benefits everyone, children, families, schools, communities, and businesses. I suspect that you've heard that before, and I know you have an obligation on this committee to pay attention to both. And so I thank you for your time and commitment to both our state and our families.
Ms. Olson, what does it cost for a family to have their child in full-day kindergarten?
$3,400.
$2,400 for the year.
$3,400. And we do scholarship for families that qualify for free and reduced lunch. That is the measure that we use. So it is free to those families who qualify for free lunch, and those who qualify for a reduced pay half that amount.
And would you have the space to take care of all of your potential kindergartners for full time?
We would have to. In some of the schools, the students may need to go to a neighboring school to find that room because some of our schools are very crowded at this time. But it is something that we would definitely have a commitment to making work if this goes through.
And would you suspect that the parents would not mind if their children went to a different school?
We've had to do that in the past, and parents have been very receptive to it. One of our Kindergarten Plus programs for several years was located at a nearby school, and it worked very well.
Thank you. Mr. Haugen.
Yes.
Or whoever you would like to speak.
Yep. My name is Miles Haugen, principal at Deerwood Elementary in the Rosemont-Apple Valley Eagan School District. My 14th year as an elementary principal and 9th year at Deerwood. So pleased to be here this morning and have the opportunity to share with you some information about full-day kindergarten. Firmly believe that the voluntary full-day kindergarten is a necessity if we want to give all our students an equal opportunity in their critical early years of learning. I'm extremely concerned about the considerable and growing gap between the literacy scores achieved by our half-day kindergarten students and their full-day counterparts who are enrolled in our optional fee-based program that Dr. Olson had shared with you just now. I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about the literacy data that at our kindergarten level. Each year, our kindergarten teachers closely monitor literacy data that they collect from their students periodically throughout the year. Each of the years since our district started the fee-based full-day kindergarten option, I've noticed a concerning gap in our literacy scores of our half-day and full-day students. Our full-day kindergarten students are much further along than the half-day students, and most of the full-day students have made the necessary gains to springboard them into their first grade experience. This gap is even more concerning as we look at our at-risk students, many whom, Dr. Olson had mentioned, cannot afford the full-day program. These students, more than any, need a full-day experience just to stay on pace with the other students. And as has been shared with some of the early testimonies, time is of an essence for these kindergarten students to make the necessary gains. So we definitely, this extra time is needed to be provided for individual and small group instruction that's needed for our at-risk students. As a state, we should eliminate this inequity with the implementation of full-day kindergarten if possible. Another thing to consider as we look, and I think has been mentioned earlier in some aspect, is looking at full-day kindergarten is the fact that teaching kindergarten looks much different than it did years ago. Today's kindergarten teacher is better equipped and more knowledgeable on best practice experiences and instructional strategies than teachers in the past. Today's teacher has a wealth of student data at his or her fingertips. Along with this added knowledge and data comes greater responsibility because we know that we need to do, we know what we need to do in order to help these students move forward in their learning. But many times with the half-day program, we don't have the necessary time to make a full impact. With the up-to-date instructional resources and knowledge that today's kindergarten teacher brings to the classroom, I firmly believe that with the extra time allotted, we can make the great gains for our early learners that will sustain them through their years. And now I'm going to turn it over to Kathy Boddicker, the kindergarten teacher at Deerwood, who is the residential expert at Deerwood with our kindergarten friends. So.
Thank you. My name is Kathy Boddicker, and I'm a kindergarten teacher at Deerwood Elementary School in Eagan. Thank you today for the opportunity to talk about something I am very passionate about, and that's kindergarten students. I've taught kindergarten students for 33 years. I taught half-day kindergarten for the first 26 years of my career. And for the past 7 years, I've been teaching all-day kindergarten as a part of the fee-based program we offer in Rosemont, Apple Valley, Eagan. In the half-day program, it was difficult to find time to extend my students' learning and or address their individual needs. Today, I work with 21 students in my all-day kindergarten class. They stay with me for 6 hours and 20 minutes of the school day and may not have to transition to another program, such as daycare. They have the consistency of one teacher. This gives me time to explore subjects in greater depth, and it gives me more time for individual and small group instruction. Our students at risk can make significant gains in their learning with the benefit of an all-day kindergarten program. Last year, it was my pleasure to teach a student named Gerardo. When the year started, Gerardo could not write his name or identify any letters of the alphabet. By the end of the year, he not only could write his name, he could identify he knew the alphabet fluently. His improved English skills helped him better communicate with peers and teachers, which helped him to be more successful in his learning. The benefits of all-day kindergarten go way beyond my classroom. My students are able to work with specialists such as art, music, physical education, and library. Our daily schedule with all-day kindergarten provides so much more opportunity for students to grow socially, emotionally, and academically. In my half-day classroom, for example, I could only spend 30 minutes a day on literacy skills. In my all-day kindergarten classroom, we focus on literacy for 2 hours every morning. Over the past 7 years teaching all-day kindergarten, I have experienced happy, well-adjusted students who are eager to come to school each day. Students in our all-day kindergarten program transition into first grade with less anxiety and more confidence with school routines. Kindergarten is a time to learn and to get along with others and discover the joy of learning. I want to ensure that every child has the chance to have the time and attention to be a successful learner. I strongly support all-day kindergarten. Thank you for the opportunity to come today.
Thank you, Kathy. I can sense your enthusiasm and share many of your views. So thank you very much, everyone, from Rosemont Apple Valley School.
Thank you.
Now from Parents United, Mary Sessioni or something. What is it? How do you pronounce your name? I'm sorry.
It's a tough name. Mary Sicconi, Parents United Sicconi. For Public Schools. We are a Minnesota-born, parent-led parent organization throughout Minnesota. I have no slides. I have absolutely no slides. What I do have is a parent perspective. And I can tell you that it's really great when experience aligns with research, because what I hear all the time from parents is that they actually select districts because of the opportunity to have all-day K. And we very much support Senator Clausen and Senator Kent's opportunity to do this. I can tell you a couple of things that parents love. There are fewer transitions for children. That's one of the reasons they select a school district, so those kids can just continue through. They believe that there's stronger family-teacher partnerships with the children because they build them at a young age and then can move forward. We do know between research and reality that it reduces retention. Our kids learn better. And it also reduces absenteeism. And if you've ever been in a position to have a young child say to you, Mommy, I have a stomachache and I don't want to go to school, you understand that when the child feels more linked with that school, they're less inclined to do that. So we do know it reduces absenteeism. It also helps school readiness and literacy. Those are actual researchable pieces, but it also fits with parents. So we're very supportive and very thankful for these bills.
Thank you very much. Mary Ciccone. Rick Clark, superintendent from Buffalo Lake. Probably doctor.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. My formal name is Frederick Clark, but it's too hard for the kindergartners to call me that, so we just go with Rick. The title of my handout to you is Voluntary Funding for Full-Day Everyday Kindergarten. It is not an error. That's what Buffalo Lake Hector Stewart Schools has done for 10 years. We believe in the value of full-day, everyday kindergarten. I believe it in such the extent that the title on this paper lacks my full title. I am superintendent of schools and K-5 principal. With a choice between funding full-day kindergarten and a principal, we go for 10 years in my dual capacity. Also being a small school, I'm the finance officer, food service, and transportation, so I know what we speak about. And so,
what is the size of your school, Mr.?
We have 561 students, K-12, and I'm very proud to say that number has decreased by 8 students in 10 years. Our open enrollment has been going up on the inbound direction because of our full-day, everyday kindergarten. When we came before you in 2008 with the McLeod West consolidation. Some of you may remember that, where we took 4 schools, turned it into 3 schools, and still had 88% support for it. And we did that, and when the schools that participated in this, who did not have kindergarten full day every day, came to the schools with full day every day kindergarten, I can tell you, the results of the referendum that we passed last November, 76% supported. And the first priority on our funding is full-day, everyday kindergarten. That is the first check written. And 70% of our people do not have children or grandchildren in our school. They believe in the statistics that are counted here and have been presented before this committee. And I will honor Senator Wigert's response request by not going forward and reiterating all the facts that you have. But the picture on the top, that is what a half-day kindergarten class looks like. It's not ours. Our kindergarten students are either at art, they're at music, they're at computer, library, physical education, or health. Those would not be offered to our kids on a half-day schedule or an every other day schedule. I'm very pleased to say that those 3 smiling people at the bottom, in honor of the data privacy, my daughter did give me permission to use my grandchildren on this. The oldest on the right is in full day, everyday kindergarten. Thank you, Anoka Hennepin School. It is on a limited basis, however. The one in the middle, Grandma and Grandpa, are paying for Montessori school. And so when they go to school, the value of education cannot be underestimated. I am the first in my family to graduate from high school. I have 2 master's degrees, a specialist degree, and a doctorate degree. And the education is the only thing in this world that cannot be taken from me. Everything else is material and may be taken. I am passionate. I apologize if my enthusiasm comes into the middle of your tables. However, this I can tell you, our kindergartners learn socially acceptable behaviors. socially accepted behaviors, we are paying certain amounts, very limited amounts, to K-12 education. I would suggest you compare that to what it costs to incarcerate a person who does not have socially acceptable skills. It is an investment. Not only does it reduce the negative expenditure to our society, but I'll go back to the study, which is found on your page 3 of 4, Art Rolnick and Rob Grunewald of our Federal Reserve out of Minnesota suggests that the return on investment for everyone in is substantial. Now, down in the final paragraph there, the High Scope Educational Foundation did a longitudinal study of the Perry Preschool and found that it is a $17 return on $1 investment. I suggest that this body can't afford not to have those type of investments, because I don't know of any stock company or any mutual fund that's going to give you those types. In addition to that, here are the experiences from our schools. This is not in your findings. We have reduced, a question was asked before, we have reduced our special education expenditure by 18% per pupil unit. We have reduced on average one student per year from special ed by using kindergarten all day and using response to intervention strategies. And we are currently in the neighborhood of $8,700 cross subsidy per pupil unit for special education. That is substantial. The question concerning Latino. We are up to 26% Latino population in our school. Those kids come to us with all kinds of challenges. ELL, different cultures, and we need to get them early and often. Full day, everyday kindergarten provides the frequency which lacks in every other day full day or in half day. And so we are stability. And we are also the requirement to teach our kids the language of understanding, English. It moves them from translating English into Spanish and processing. They begin to move directly from the English language to the processing. It speeds up their understanding, their comprehension. We know that because I've looked back for the last 3 years. And our findings are, in the last 3 years, our cost has been approximately $60,000. The second sheet on finance shows a significant reduction in those numbers thanks to the federal stimulus. However, the stimulus has gone away. Title money is planned to be sequestered and or reduced from the federal level. And without your help, we're going to have to go to our local property taxes in that levy to subsidize. Something else will have to go. And it probably will class size. It will not be full day, everyday kindergarten. That remains as long as I'm there and this Board of Education remains in office. I would also like to say it's very simple. Every educational opportunity is lost. It is not made up. It is not postponed. It is lost. And we provide opportunities in a formal basis. Before I get too wound up, and several of the folks in this room start saying, here goes Clark again, you have proposed to us for the last decade, 15 years that I've been in the state of Minnesota as a superintendent, you have said data-driven decision. Data decision are before you at this time. The economics and the social impacts cannot be disputed. The issue of stamina, my little ones fall asleep on the bus on the way home up until Thanksgiving. After that, the parents say, how do you get 60 kids to rise and to sit? Ask any music teacher. It takes time. It takes training. We provide those services as well. The United States is a center of world interest in education for one reason and one reason only. We have the ability to allow creativity. And teaching to the subject and testing to the subject do not create creativity. It narrows it. And as we move forward to this and the federal monies come in, federal government has no responsibility in education anywhere in the Constitution. You, however, do. under Article 13, Section 1, it says, thou shalt create an economic situation that allows equitable education. This would assist that. The other issue before this group is, no one that I'm aware of in this state has ever defined what a Minnesota education is. So you tell me that I can have half-day kindergarten. You've told me I have kindergarten. I believe it's up to this committee to start the ball rolling and fund that requirement. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. I suspect you've helped to close the achievement or the achievement gap a little bit with your remarks today. You tell me that your families, people with children and without children, realize the direct benefit to their community and our state by all-day kindergarten, and that's what I believe you're hoping to convince us.
I would suggest that we are just one small snapshot in time. However, our scores from last year's MMR results, third grade proficiency, was 94% in reading in our third grade.
And Mr. Clark, and I think this committee and our governor both recognize the need and the desire to have this. It's finding the funding to do it is what is the challenge for us right now.
Madam Chairman,
Mr. Clark,
this is not a matter of finding the funding. It is a constitutional requirement. There are items in the Constitution that do not require funding, like transportation, that have dedicated resources to it. I suggest this is a priority that should be answered at the first toll, not the last toll of legislature. Thank you.
Accept your reprimand. Thank you, sir. Dr. Jeffries, Minnesota Children's Defense Fund.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Marcy Jeffries, and I'm with the Children's Defense Fund, and we're very happy to support this bill, and I think Senator Claussen's point about making these kind of investments a priority was very well said. The information presented by the school districts is extremely compelling, and there's really nothing I can add to that. I think it shows the value, again, of starting early. One of the points that you asked about special ed in terms of savings, that has been found in national studies as well. A point that hasn't been emphasized as much is the value that and the role that all-day K plays in supporting early childhood and things that have been done in those years 0 to 5. Research in Washington State compared low-income children who had gotten preschool and then the same preschool experience, and some got half-day K and some got full-day K, and those children who got full-day K did better in first grade. So it really is a piece, all-day K is part of that continuum of supporting any gains in any programs that have begun in early childhood. We, of course, are concerned about the equity issues based on income, and especially as the point was made that those children who may benefit the most from all-day K currently may not be accessing that program. So we really support this concept for reducing that issue. And the final point I would make, again, is that the best chance for school success is to start at birth, start with a healthy start, identify those children who may need additional help, make sure they get on track in those services and that the services and the gains that they have made are maintained through all the way to school, including all-day K, and that we don't experience a drop-off when they hit kindergarten. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Jeffries. We have one final person to testify, Mr. Tom Pritchard from the Minnesota Family Council. Mr. Pritchard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Tom Pritchard, President of the Minnesota Family Council. And I want to thank the committee for allowing me to testify. I was looking at the lineup. I saw that I was probably a voice in the wilderness, but I thought I had some concerns I felt I needed to express. First of all, I would say I think our goal is the same. We all want children to succeed and be successful in life and also academically and in our schools. And I think that, in light of that, and also your budget situation, deficits, tax increases, I think it's really important to look at, is this going to achieve or move us in that direction all-day kindergarten? I just saw recently where the numbers suggesting that the city of the Minneapolis Public Schools spend over $23,000 per student to educate their kids, which is a massive amount of money. So I think we have to really look at this issue closely and see. And a number of comments were made about studies saying this and that, but I think there's a very interesting study out. It came out a few years ago by the National Center for Education Statistics Early Childhood Longitudinal Study. And they assessed 22,000 students at kindergarten entry and followed them through the third grade. And this was a unique data set because it was random, it was a large sample, and they had a control group. And what they found was that, in their own words, the researchers' words, that at the end of the kindergarten year, quote, little meaningful difference on reading and math test scores between all day and part day kindergarten. They wrote, in terms of kindergarten program type, all day or part day, there is little meaningful difference in the level of children's end of year reading and mathematics knowledge. In addition, they found that there was that what little difference there was disappeared by the third grade. I think that's very significant. And I know there's a lot of studies out saying, well, we've seen this improvement, that. But I think the problem is you need to nail down what exactly caused improvement if there is some documented improvement. And I think this study suggested that it wasn't just the fact they went to all-day kindergarten. And I think that's important to keep in mind. Secondly, maybe not directly on the all-day kindergarten question, but on preschool programs, there is a massive study done by out of Stanford. And they found that the more time children spend in preschool programs, the more aggressive antisocial behavior they exhibit. And I realize these studies weren't on the kindergarten children, but I think it's something that needs to be considered, that to just move children into an institutional setting is not always in the best interest of children, especially very young children. And I just want to make that as well. I think if you move ahead, you really need to look at, for funding, targeting those children who are at the most disadvantaged, the poorest. And I think, frankly, giving parents more choice is an important way to improve the quality of their children's education, but also the overall education in our state. There's some very interesting study out on eliminating, not just reducing the achievement gap, but eliminating it. But that's, I guess, testimony for another hearing. But thank you for your time, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Pritchard. Mr. Pritchard, I know that you were probably – I went to the Minnesota Association of Christian Schools breakfast this morning over at the Kelly Inn. We were invited, and one of my private schools, Christian schools, Woodcrest Baptist Church in Fridley, was there. And because I was thinking of this meeting coming, I asked them if they do all day, or what they do for kindergarten. They provide all day kindergarten for the majority of their students, and they also have a 3-day full day curriculum for four-year-olds. So they have found, in fact, they said that they feel that that's one of the reasons that they're keeping their enrollment at the level it is, because of offering the kindergarten that people who care very much about their children are bringing them to the private school and paying everything. They pay everything there. The state doesn't pay any money for their education, but just for the for your information and the information of the committee. Thank you very much. With that, members, Mr. Clausen, Senator Clausen, would you like to make some closing remarks? If people want to ask Senator Clausen a couple of questions, but we'd like to get to Senator Kent's bill, too, today. So we will be laying the bill over and for inclusion in the big K-12, for possible inclusion of the big K-12 bill, or E-12 bill.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I think that our presenters today, our testifiers, probably did a much better job in presenting the case. But again, I just see this as an investment in our state. It's an investment in our future. And it's something that I think we've waited too long to implement. And I'd be open to any questions at this time.
Are there any very pressing questions that anyone would like to ask.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Clausen, I believe it is. Can you tell me, what's this breakdown on the fiscal note? What's it breakdown to per student cost? By having this all-day kindergarten, what will that cost per student?
Senator Clausen, our council might be able to answer that question if you'd like.
Okay, very good.
Madam Chair and members, the fiscal note titled Senate File 2, page 3, line 12, increase per ADM for districts. This is school districts, not charters. Increase per ADM in fiscal 15, estimated at $3,360.
Million?
Per ADM.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Thank you, Senator Clausen.
Thank you. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had a couple of questions on the fiscal note as well, and I just want to make sure I understand the answer to Senator James, because the current funding per ADM is right around $5,200, $5,300. This seems awfully high for adding the amount that Senator Clausen has requested.
Council, please.
Madam Chair and Senator Pratt, keep in mind that the formula allowance is weighted upwards. So the weight will add another 15% on top of the formula allowance. Right, 1.115 times whatever formula allowance there is. So it's that's maybe the root of your question, right?
Yes, thank you very much. One other, Madam Chair, if I may, one other question on fiscal note. On the front page, it shows a $7.8 million savings in fiscal year 14 and not the full amount of the program in fiscal year 15. I was scanning through the footnotes, and I didn't see an explanation on that. I was wondering if you could help me.
Council, please.
Yeah. The savings in fiscal year 14 has to do with the property tax recognition shift. Since there's a levy increase, that savings is made up in fiscal year 14.
Does that answer your question, Senator Pratt?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Thank you. One more question, Senator
Thank
Pratt.
Thank you very much. Senator Clausen, I came from a school board that also offers all-day, everyday kindergarten, and one of the chief challenges that we had was space, and I heard one of the testifiers talk to that. You also talked about waiting lists. In your experience, is the lack of availability because of the ADM funding, or is it really because of the space as the primary driver?
I think in our district it's due to lack of funding. I think that, as was Dr. Olson testified, that they'd make it work. We might have to move some children from a non-neighborhood school a few more miles, but they could make it work.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Pratt? Senator Dems.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Clausen, as I understand now, this would be a voluntary program, and the schools would be effective to use this starting in fall of 2014, would that be correct, or is it 2013?
Correct.
Okay. And then when would they be paid then, effective for the start of that term? Would they start receiving funds for that to cover the start of the 2014 year?
Fiscal, I'll ask you to respond to that, please.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Sorry. Yes. If a school chose to start the program in 2014, would the pay follow, so they'd be paid as the program started?
Mr. Chair and members, the revenue increase will be effective for fiscal year 15, which is the 2014-15 school year, and the current year payment would be effective for that entire school year.
Thank right, you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Clausen.
Senator Clausen.
Thank you, Mr. Thank Chair. You. Senator Clausen. First of all, I'd like to say that in listening to Mr. Pritchard in some of his stats, I would have to agree with everything he said. a lot of times I think we want to do get kids in early, and yet, you know, it reminds me of coaching hockey for many years, where they said, if I could start my kid at 3 years old, it'd be better. And yet we found that many kids that started early, by the time they got to high school, or even earlier than that, they're pretty much the same, even though they started much earlier. So part of my question is, you know, in my mind I say, okay, we either have the kids with the parents, or we put them in the institution government school. Would you say, and I was reading the all children benefit from high quality full day kindergarten programs, and maybe they're just, I assume they're talking about public or government education. My kids didn't go there. My kids stayed home with the family. Is the institution better to have them than the parent?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hall, in using your hockey analogy, I've had two children in hockey. I remember my son trying out for those hockey teams, and there was 150 kids. I remember my wife taking a picture in my son's senior year. There were four seniors on the team. What happened to those other kids? Same thing happens in school if we don't give children an opportunity. And I think the family structure has changed. A lot more single parenting that's taking place. We don't have the 1950s model of mom staying at home with the children any longer. And we're seeing the results of that in our society.
Senator Hall.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Senator Claussen. So is the idea to go beyond kindergarten and go down to four-year-olds or three-year-olds, or when do we allow a child to be a child with the family? And granted, we're given the option, and I appreciate the option, but will that become mandatory sometime?
Senator Claussen.
Yep, Mr. Chair, Senator Hall, I think that's up to the family to make that decision. Families make choices constantly on how they use their time, how they share experiences with one another. You know, I'm certainly here as an advocate for all-day kindergarten. You know, what the future brings, I'm not sure, but I think a lot of the decisions that we're talking about that you brought up certainly are decisions that the families have to make. What's important to them? What are their values? What are they willing to give up? What's important? And then that always comes with a price.
Yeah. Thank you, Senator. Thank you.
Any further questions? We will have a chance to talk more about early learning, pre-K as well. Yeah. And I apologize. I was in tax committee on a hearing, and I appreciate Chair Johnson and everyone's engagement. Any further questions, Senator Torres-Ray?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator, I so much appreciate that you were able to reach out to educators, members in the community, parents, teachers who are doing this work and who for the first time are able to provide some very important statistics about the value of this. And I think that part of what we need to do is continue to applaud those efforts to collect these numbers and to show us how it works. Because we, you know, when it comes to children, we have different opinions as to how do we need to do this. In my own family, we made a decision when our second child was born that my husband was going to stay home because he was not making enough money for us to pay daycare for two kids. But it was, you know, when I see this, I see the value of it, and I think it's important that we recognize that, that we are responsible for providing those options and paying for that. So I'm going to save this because this is the first time I received this information, and I intend to follow up with some questions about, you know, how do we continue to support that growth after kindergarten, first grade. I think that question is very relevant and very important. So I just wanted to thank you for giving us that opportunity and bringing all of that that information that is very relevant to the decisions that we are about to make.
Mr. Chair, Senator, you know, I think Dr. Clark spoke very well to this point. Education is all about looking at data, and we have the data to show that all-day kindergarten makes a difference. And I will be providing you with that packet of information that contains more detailed studies, so you will have additional information to review as well, state and national studies. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Claussen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And members, as Senator Johnson indicated, this will be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. We'll be looking at that bill in early April following break. We'll be looking at pieces of that as we discuss parts, including kindergarten, as we also hear from the governor on that budget again. So it's in the mix, as we say. Next, Senator Kent. Before us, we have Senate File 162. And the testifiers, just a heads up, we have Dr. Keith Jacobus and Dave Bernhardson from South Washington, followed by Brad Lundell and Grace Kelleher. If there's any others, please let us know. Senator Kent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. As we've been hearing this morning, it is a widely shared goal that every Minnesota child and their family who wants it should have access to strong kindergarten all day, every day. I definitely share this goal, and I look forward to the day when we achieve it, and the sooner the better. Parents and educators, as we've seen around Minnesota, share this goal, and over the years, districts have been taking the initiative to provide all-day kindergarten in their communities with the resources they have available. As a result of these local efforts, we now have a range of offerings around the state, reflecting the inherent diversity of needs, wants, and resources. This morning, I am presenting Senate File 162 to provide some flexibility to local school districts as we all work together in transitioning towards statewide all-day kindergarten. The purpose of this bill is to offer that flexibility while maintaining the commitment to those critical early learning years. When we look at the most pressing educational needs in Minnesota, there's consensus that two of these are getting kids off to a strong start to achieve long-term success and the related goal of narrowing the achievement gap. Different models articulate this in different ways, but I'll refer to the age 3 to grade 3 approach that stresses the importance of students' literacy and achievement by third grade to set them up to succeed. We've seen a lot of data on this morning, and I'm not going to rehash all of that here. This is intended to just sort of expand the discussion to a slightly different angle. But as we've all heard, if you look at this in terms of the lifelong, long-term success, how do we back that up and assure the steps that we need to get there? And one of the things that everybody pretty widely agrees on is that success by third grade is critical. And then you ask the question, how do we get our students ready for that? All-day K is a big part of this. Early childhood education is as well. As we've all heard, investments in early childhood have been found to have the greatest return, cited sometimes as $12, according to the Wilder Foundation, or $16, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, for every $1 spent. $12 to $16 to $1. That is a tremendous return on our investment. By providing the flexibility to local school districts, they can appropriately balance the needs, wants, and resources of their district as they work toward all-day, everyday K. The kinds of issues that will have to be balanced include kindergarten readiness among their young students, logistics such as space and transportation, and parent preferences. What's important is that we support districts in all the early learning needs up to and including kindergarten as we as a state prepare our youngest learners for long-term success. With me today are representatives of School District 833, South Washington County Schools. District 833 is a large and diverse district serving all or parts of the communities of Woodbury, Cottage Grove, Newport, St. Paul Park, Afton, Denmark, and Gray Cloud Island. They have already begun the process of balancing these needs and will share their experiences as a case study in the issues and solutions. Later, we'll hear from Brad Lundell from Schools for Equity in Education and Grace Kelleher of the Minnesota School Boards Association. First, allow me to introduce Dr. Keith Jacobus, superintendent with South Washington County Schools, Dave Bernhardson, assistant superintendent over elementary at South Washington County, and Aaron Kruger, principal at Newport Elementary School. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Kent. Welcome to committee. Please state your name for the recording.
Mr. Chair, my name is Keith Jacobus. I'm fortunate to be the superintendent of South Washington County School District. And with me, Dave Bernardson, our assistant superintendent for elementary, and Aaron Kruger is our principal of Newport Elementary. Both Dave and Aaron will do the bulk of the speaking about our experience as we've looked at flexibility for our kids. We believe strongly, as was talked about earlier, the flexibility for the half-day program in kindergarten and the full-day program, but also our focus on the preschool. And what we'd like to talk to you about is the positive aspects of our focus on moving toward a preschool program for our kids and looking at expanding those options. So I'd like to turn it over to Dave to talk about how we moved into that and what we've seen since we've initiated the program.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. Superintendent Jacobus, I am Dave Bernardson. I'm the Assistant Superintendent for Elementary in the South Washington County Schools. We have been in the all-day kindergarten business since the mid-90s when we started fee-based programs. And since that time, we've expanded our all-day population to represent about 50 to 60% of our students attending all-day K. During that time, we've worked hard to look at how can we make that option happen for all of our kids. And as you can imagine, funds have been a challenge, as well as space has been, because we're a school district that continues to grow. Even in these times, we grew 2% this last school year, so we do have some space challenges that go along with that. Our last review of all-day K took place during 2009 when we did a year-long study and looked at what are our options pertaining to all-day K, and our goal was to find a way to fund it. But as we jumped into that dilemma, once again, finances and space got in our way. But also, as we think about school and you think about college and career readiness, we jumped on to the fact that realistically in our district, we were finding out that kindergarten readiness was a significant challenge. And that challenge was showing us that at some times we had less than 50% of our kids coming to kindergarten ready for kindergarten. Kindergarten's changed over time, and they weren't ready. And we talked about, well, if we're going to look at this from a productivity standpoint, we've got a very big price tag that goes along with all-day K and some space challenges. What can we do on the pre-K end? Thus, we started our journey into the pre-K world. And what we found was there's barriers to pre-K. One of those barriers, of course, is finances for families, but the other one is transportation as well. And we looked at that, and we looked at some of the other research pieces that people have shared today, and we started with our title schools. We have 15 elementary schools in our school district. At that time, two of them were title schools. We now have three title schools. And we looked at the number of kids in those title schools that had an experience before kindergarten, and we were astounded to find out not many. What we did then was we implemented a 5-day-a-week pre-K program at those title schools, providing transportation for those kids at the same time. So they ran or run the same schedule as half-day kindergarten kids. After that, things have grown dramatically. We now have pre-K offered in 12 of our 15 elementary schools, which is attendance boundary-based, which is not free, but it's on a sliding scale fee similar to kindergarten. And we have now, for this school year, we have 50% of our incoming 13-14 kindergarten class attending our pre-K programs. And the results have been astonishing. Along with that, we have had concerted efforts to go out and reach out to our other pre-K providers within our school district saying, our collective goal is kindergarten readiness, because as we have found, kindergarten readiness is as much a predictor of college and career readiness as anything else can be. With that, I want to turn it over to Principal Kruger. Principal Kruger is the principal at Newport Elementary, which is a small elementary, but is one of our most diverse and economically challenged schools. And he was in the beginning groundwork of how we implemented pre-K and can tell you about the results that have taken place. Plus, before he speaks, I'll also let you know that with this pre-K program, of course, as more families have had their kids in our pre-K, what do you think has happened next? They want all-day K at the same time because of that. They've had that significant pre-K experience that says, you know what, now my kid is ready for all-day K. Aaron?
Mr. Chair, fellow members, thank you. Aaron Kruger, principal of Newport Elementary School. I appreciate the opportunity today to be here in front of you. Been a wonderful experience. We started preschool with the hope that our kids currently in Newport, less than 15% of those students had any type of somewhat formal, if you will, preschool experience or school readiness experience. So when they came to the table, oftentimes they were performing well below peers coming in that had that experience. So we worked hard to bring this program in. It did cause us to have to move a few things around within the building, but things that we were able to do We had great community buy-in. Parents were thrilled to have the opportunity, and we provided it in our building free and have provided it free since then. So our building is the highest poverty building in South Washington County, over 65% of our students receiving free or reduced lunch, 50% diversity in our building. So a very unique and somewhat challenging pocket within South Washington County Schools. We wanted to recognize that. We found that now trying to track and build some sort of longitudinal data to bring back this year's first graders would be our first class of preschool, five-day-a-week, half-day students. Only 21 of 60 students in our first grade program attended preschool. 18 of those 21 are already surpassed mid-year benchmarks for grade level performance. So that would tell you that the remaining, 39 that did not have an experience still have a little bit of a hill to climb to finish the year. Year two, so this year's kindergarten students, the second class of all-day, half-day pre-K, 35 of 44 of those students attended preschool, and all 35 of those students are significantly above grade level mid-year benchmark assessments for kindergarten. So that's a very positive anecdotal experience for us. And then this year, we've grown to 37. So our current preschool class is 37. Certainly, we hope by moving those students into all-day kindergarten, we'll continue to see that that positive growth with achievement and be able to track those classes as they move forward. One unique piece or caveat, I guess, with the year two students, because of the addition of pre-K in our building, last year we went, or I should say this year, planning last year for this year, we went to all-day, everyday kindergarten for all students. So there also is an additional boost there as well. Students left a half-day program, came into a free in our building all-day, everyday kindergarten experience. So we've kind of been out front a little bit with both free pre-K for our at-risk and all families, really, and then free all-day, everyday kindergarten for our students, and we'll continue that again next year. So,
we'd like to include.
Excuse me, Principal Kruger. Yeah. Do you know if there is any graduates of your half-day kindergarten program in the audience? That would be Senator Sieben.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I do know Senator Sieben, and I think I'll see her here in a couple weeks again to come visit, but I'm going to guess that I wasn't principal when Senator Sieben was in kindergarten, so I apologize. I didn't know that.
Okay. Now you do.
Okay. We also wanted to include that with our pre-K program, prior to the way that we've jumped into this program and have made the changes that we have an obligation to our early childhood special ed population of early pre-K kids. And before we did this expansive effort, we were only able to meet the needs of 45% of those kids within our school district settings. This year, we are meeting the needs of 98% of our early childhood special ed kids in our own pre-K programs. And what we translate that to is that the majority of those kids, as you can imagine, have IEPs that are basically rooted in the fact that their speech or other pieces that they will probably move out of special ed because they've had that opportunity to be involved in our pre-K programs. So as we looked at this whole piece and looked at what are our options and how do we jump into this pre-K and expanding our K-plus programming, I want you to know that the committee that looked at that was an E21 committee of educators in our district because we see these early interventions as benefiting kids not only during their early years, but in their middle years, high school years, and their adult life as well. And we applaud Senator Ken for bringing this forward because the flexibility that would have bring to us as a school district to either fund kindergarten or pre-K is substantial based on the programming that we have, but also with the space constraints that we have at the same time as a growing school district.
Okay. Any other testifiers, Senator Kent?
Next, we'll have Mr. Brad Lundell from C.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Brad Lundell from Schools for Equity in Education. Just here today, when we talked a couple weeks ago when we described our organizational goals for the coming session, this is a on the C platform, and I certainly want to thank Senator Kent and thank Senator Claussen for putting this bill forward, bringing the kindergarten weighting up to 1.15 or the same we don't know what the waiting is going to be after the governor's recommendations are talked about, but making sure that the kindergarten waiting is equal to that of the those in the early elementary grades, I think, is very, very important. I'm not going to wow you with statistics. The statistics I've been given here are, I think, are very compelling, and we certainly want to support Senator Kent. We like the language that gives a little bit of flexibility that after the all-day kindergarten goals are met, that money that is remain generated could be used to the pre-K programs as well. We think that that's a worthy addition to the effort. So I thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I'll turn it over to Ms. Kelleher.
Thank you, Mr. Lindell. Ms. Kelleher.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Grace Kelleher, and I work for the Minnesota School Boards Association. We represent 2,200 elected school board members from around the state, and we're thrilled to be here. On the onset, I want to thank Senator Kent and Senator Claussen. There's so much vision at this table, and I had really hoped the first day I talked to you that we might see things really turn around for kids and become meaningful in their lives. They can see what work we do in St. Paul has changed their classroom. And this, by far, is one of my organization's highest priorities. It's been on my platform for about 30 years, so we decided to re-poll our members this fall and see how they felt about it. And once again, all day, every day, voluntary kindergarten came up top of the list. So we're asking for your support that way. Schools have now found sort of the have and the have-nots of all-day K. If your neighbor happens to have it and you don't, you're going to be losing kids to the people who want to be in it. So it really makes school districts in a tight jam where money has been tight and budgets have been cut for the last 10 to 15 years. And this would supremely help us on that. We also believe that this is truly, for children around the state, a game changer. We want to improve our test scores. We want our kids to feel like school is relevant and has meaning. This is the way to go. We realize there's no one secret sauce that is going to make every child successful, but we're sure this is one of the main ingredients going forward, and we ask your support on this piece of legislation. On Monday, we reached out to our members and said, Senator Kent's got a bill up and Senator Claussen on kindergarten. Can you give us an idea of where you stand right now? And I just passed out a list. We had 66 responses over the last 2 days, and they come from all over the state, so it's sort of fun to look at the list. The second question had to do with, do you charge a fee for kindergarten? And there were 7 districts that charged a fee, and I sort of put their fee numbers in there, and you see how it's sort of all around the block on what they're charging. But by far the majority of those responses were not charging a fee, and once again taking that treasured money out of the general education formula and spending it on kids. The next question we spent some time watching is, what type of kindergarten programs do you provide? You can see that all day K, a lot of them already supply that. And I think Mr. Melcher gave us a hint when he was introducing his information on the governor's budget that lots of school districts are moving that way. Our data backs that up. We have a half day, have a portion, 4 day a week kindergarten, every other day kindergarten, and then a combination. The next question, I was interested to say, if you, as a kindergarten, if we followed the governor's budget and only got 70% of our costs, would you open a K program in your district? And 84% said they would. The next one I said is, what if you got 100% funding like Senator Kent's talking about doing? What would we see different there? And the next slide shows that that jumps to 98% of the school districts around the state would do it. Last but not least, we said, what are the problems? And you've really covered it going forward. Senator Pratt alluded to some of the concerns going forward. But we really saw lack of facility space being high on the list, having to hire additional staff. Mr. Pritchard talked about some of the parent resistance we might run into, because parents are all in different places about whether they feel their child should be in kindergarten or not. And we want to make sure we respect that going forward. But all in all, great data, and once again, the data is solidly behind this bill. We really ask that you do something that you'll be able to see in every one of the school districts you represent. Help us provide an all-day, every-day kindergarten program for the kids in Minnesota. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, and for doing that survey, among other things. Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first of all, thank you, Senator Kent, for bringing this forward. I greatly appreciate it, as well as Senator Klassen's bill. Ms. Kelleher, I have a question for you with regard to the language. I strongly support what Senator Kent's doing. My district, when I shared with them, just had a little bit of a question, and so I actually prepared an amendment, which I may or may not do, depending on this conversation. But one of the concerns about the language, not the intent behind the language, is that it says that the district would have to show they've met the community need prior to having flexibility. And they were concerned, how would you prove that? So I wondered where you stood on that.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bonoff, that's a good question. That language is not very clear. I mean, I think as if we had every child who asked to be signed up in a kindergarten program was allowed to, and no one else asked us, we could generally say that was met. But if you wanted to tighten up some of that language in there, it would feel even better.
Yep. So I will offer the amendment when you're ready, Mr. Chair.
Senator Bonoff moves the A3 amendment, which will be distributed, and Senator Bonoff, if you'd like to speak to it, and it'll be in front of everyone shortly.
Yes. Amidst my pile, I guess I'd like a copy of it myself because it's right now in the middle of mine. Oh, I have it. Thank you. So, again, members, understand this is really to support Senator Kent's bill, that I'm very, very much in agreement with Senator Kent's bill. In fact, in my own family, I put my son, who's now 24, and by the way, anyone who has kids who are now grown and away from home and you sit around this education table, I don't know about you, but it makes me miss my kids. So, so this is a wonderful discussion. And I put my now 24-year-old in the Jewish day school as a kindergartner because it was all day K. So that's how much I really do support this overall.
Senator Bonoff, soon there will be grandchildren, though.
I'm waiting. impatiently.
Okay, so what this amendment does is it deletes that section that says that meets the community need, and instead it lets the school district, at the school board's discretion, use the all-day funds for to meet the needs of 3- and 4-year-olds in the district. But then we didn't want school districts to go ahead and keep charging a fee and use this money for 3- and 4-year-olds. So because that was a concern, we added a sentence that said a school district may not use these funds on programs for 3- and 4-year-old children while maintaining a fee-based full-day kindergarten program. So in summary, it just gives the districts the flexibility. And then to make sure that there is some tightness around that flexibility, it says you can't keep charging a fee for all-day K.
Senator Kent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Bonoff. I want to thank you for your attention to this. Much of this bill actually was inspired by the governor's budget proposal. And one of the things that I do want to point out about this is, regardless of where we end up through the process on the all-day K question in terms of levels, et cetera, and obviously we want to be ambitious on behalf of our children, but this can go along in any sort of setting. And so I appreciate that attention to maintaining that flexibility for the districts. Thank you.
Senator Torres-Ray, and before us, we do have the A3 amendment, which is deemed friendly by the chief author. Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Bonoff, a question on the A3 amendment. It just seems to me that the language that is offered in Senator Kent's bill is much more permissive, in a sense that, you know, if that's that particular district determines, it says in here very clearly, that they are meeting the needs of the community, the district may use the generated revenue. So for pre-kindergarten programs. So that's all it says. Your language attaches some restriction to it because it says the school may or may not use for 3- to 4-year-olds, so we're putting a little bit more restriction Am I understanding this correctly?
No.
Could you speak to that? Mr. Chair, Senator Torres, right.
The only difference is in here we're deleting the part that says meets the community needs and just says that at the district's discretion, they may use the funds to meet the needs of 3- and 4-year-olds. So they don't have to prove they've met the community needs, because my school boards were questioning how they would show they met the needs. And so, but then it was brought, a concern was brought forward, well, what if the school district says we want to use 3- and 4-year-olds, but they want to keep the money that the parents are paying for the all-day K? And so to prevent that second. So the only restriction on using the money for 3- and 4-year-olds is they cannot keep doing fee-based kindergarten.
Thank you, Senator Bonn.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Bonoff, Senator Kent, I guess my presumption was that by Senator Clausen's bill that there would be no more fee-based kindergarten. And so questioning the need for that part of the provision, given that presumption.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Kent.
In the theory of abundance of caution, once we've introduced the idea of flexibility, we don't want to go too far with the flexibility. We want to keep this within the intent of where we've all intended it. And so that was the idea. Once we've introduced flexibility, we just want to be clear that fee-based is not an option when you're doing this.
Okay. Thank you.
Sir Hoffman, did you?
Mr. Chair, thank you. This is great. I mean, this is something my whole entire adult life, early childhood, and I remember Dr. Stephen Bernhardt from Rutgers talking, validating the North Carolina study. And Senator Klassen, thank you for bringing the bill forward on all-day ready kindergarten. And in the district that – one of the districts that I served on the school board, we had 24 elementary schools and only able to offer all-day every day to 15 of them. So this is really going to close that achievement. And we show – that beyond a shadow of a doubt, we know how to close the achievement gap up there. So, and thank you, Senator Kent, for bringing this forward. I just have a clarification, and perhaps it's staff that might be able to do it. In the
on the A3.
I'm sorry.
Yes, if it's on the A3 amendment, but we'll have a chance after that. Too.
Thank you. I'll withhold until we're done okay. with the A3 amendment. Sorry.
Further
thank you,
discussion,
Chair.
Feedback on A3 amendment. Not all in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Carried. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was wrapping them together, but I just had a little clarifying question on Section 1 from the fiscal analysis. It talks about clarifying the differences between half-day and full-day kindergarten pupils for the purpose of providing the educational aids, and then we end it with 2 non-public students. And so a question out there is that could we clarify that this is only pertaining to and supporting public schools and is not part of a scholarship approach that goes to non-public placements?
Yeah. Okay. Chair and Senator Hoffman, so section, if you look at actually either of the bill summaries, they're identical for Section 1 for either Senate File 2 or Senator Kent's bill. Section 1 of the bill clarifies the difference between half-day and full-day for the purposes of providing educational aids, for example, textbooks, standardized tests, other pupil support services to non-public students. So current law sort of defines kindergarten pupils as half a kindergartner, you know, for the purposes of distributing these aids to non-public students. So this bill will make the distinction between half-day kindergarten pupils and full-day kindergarten pupils. And the implication, you might guess, is that for full-day kindergarten pupils, the distribution of these aids, for example, textbooks, tests, and other supports, will increase as these pupils are now counted as a full pupil. Does that make sense?
Mr. Chair? Yeah, thank you, Bowen. That clarifies the language. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Further questions? Comments?
Senator Wigger?
Yes. Senator?
Chair and Senator Kent, and actually this applies to both of the bills. I was wondering if you, the authors, or the fiscal staff could speak to the question about space availability. I know that many districts will have challenges due to not having space to add. They may have the desire to add full-day kindergartners, but they may not have the space to do so. Can you comment? I see in the fiscal note that there is a paragraph about it, but maybe can you describe, you know, what the mechanisms will be available to schools if they do have space constraints?
Chair and Senator, the assumption in the fiscal note is that since it's effective in fiscal year 15, the assumption is that the realization of the revenue would be at 95%, and then it would grow to 97% and 98%. So it doesn't really take into account necessarily the challenges of space. Perhaps that number would be lower. It does take into account the increase in levies for aid from the state for buildings. It notes a local impact, local government impact, but it doesn't discuss that in the narrative. Does that answer your question?
Chair, I guess it sort of does. I just was wondering if there is going to be some way to address the fact that, you know, a district like Bloomington, we're mostly at capacity. Our buildings are mostly at capacity. And it would be a challenge to add, you know, full-day kindergarten for all. So I'm just wondering if that will be addressed at some point, either in other bills or other language.
Senator Claussen's going to share some opinions on this. Senator Claussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One option that school districts have is a lease levy, and doing an analysis on that, the majority of the school districts in the state are below their cap, and that would be an option for school districts that they could actually lose lease levy dollars for additional facilities.
And we realize that most districts aren't at capacity on lease levy, though there are districts and that are at the max, and so we're agreeing that that's an issue that we're going to have to do some further work on.
Okay.
Follow-up, Senator Wicklund.
Chair and Senator Claussen, are those lease levies, if the increase needs to be made there, is that a voter-approved process to increase the lease levy amount, or is that a school board?
That is the authority of the school board. They have the authority to do that without going to the voters for lease levy. But there is a cap for districts.
Right.
Senator Wicklund, follow up.
Thank you. No, that's
okay. Senator Jensen, Pratt, and I believe Nino. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Just one quick question. Can we get a copy of some of those runs on the lease levies and take a look at what the caps are and what the potential is, maybe taking a look at that?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Claussen, may we get the
report? Senator Jensen. Yes, I do have a copy myself, so I'm sure that fiscal analysis can certainly get that for the committee.
Okay, appreciate that. Thank you.
We'll get that, you know, through our staff channel as well, but we appreciate your background
as an
administrator as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd actually prefer to yield to Senator Nino first.
Senator Nino.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Going back to the lease levy, I was just, and I was going to mention this, and it's a good time now, it's apropos. In the fiscal note, we have some information on that on page 2, very bottom paragraph. The assumption is, based on the numbers that they've put in that paragraph, that the lease levy would increase each year by $1.2 million. So I just wanted to note that for the committee.
That's noted. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure who this question is directed at, but I guess my question would be around the weighting of the all-day kindergarten student. Senator Claussen's bill was to make sure that we funded the program so that the needs of the students were met. And while I don't like putting too many rules around school boards and allowing them to make the decisions that are right for their communities, it does trouble me that we think there's going to be extra funds available in communities that this is that the current weighting is excess funding above what the need is for the all-day K, and therefore able to fund some pre-K. I don't know if that's part of the fiscal note. If Senator Clausen, if you've got any sense of what the true cost of all-day K would be, and compared to the current weighting that you've proposed.
Senator Clausen.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pratt, the figures that I gave, $170 million, was the estimate that has been provided. That would fulfill the needs of the districts. I'm not aware that there would be excess dollars.
Perhaps I could ask Ms. Kelleher, too, is there a concern by school boards that this may be an unanticipated windfall for early learning? The shift.
Mr. Chairman, that's a loaded question. I don't think there's going to be any gravy here. I think what's going to happen is it is going to free up money in the general fund for those folks who've been providing this on their own over time. So I think we've been scraping by. The general fund funds every other budget that runs short. So it's sort of like the all-purpose checking account for school districts. So, $170 million has been what we've sort of heard over time here at the Capitol, and it's not a new number. I think it's accurate. But you're right. It doesn't address some of the building concerns going forward, and that came through in the survey results that folks are worried about it. But this gets them off of one of the main barriers is we weren't even receiving full funding. So we've got, I'm guessing Mr. Melcher was accurate in saying we've got over 50% of districts are providing this at a loss to their general fund because they can't do other programs once they spend it in all-day K. And parents don't tend to like it very much if you have it one year and don't have it the next. So I think having a funding stream to do just that, districts are so close and feel this is so important, they'll do it.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Clausen.
Just one last comment. The funding that's being recommended is the same per pupil weight as in grades 1 through 3. And districts aren't making money off of grades 1, 2, 3 funding. So I don't anticipate that there's going to be excess funding through this bill.
Thank you. And, Senator Kent, would you like to wrap up before we lay this over as amended?
I would just say along these lines, one of the questions that came up earlier, I believe from Senator Hall, had to do with the question of all-day K benefiting all students. And part of that question of kindergarten readiness happens to do with, as Mr. Bernardson said earlier, when you end up with 50% of the kindergartners coming into the classroom who aren't ready, that affects the 50% who are, because teachers have to spend extra time catching everybody up. And the more we can do to get all of our students in kindergarten starting at a more level playing field, that allows all of them to excel at a better pace. And so that is why my intent with the with SF-162 is to provide some flexibility as districts work through some of the space issues, because even if we can wave a magic wand and find the funding tomorrow without upsetting anybody, a money tree shows up somewhere, we still have to deal with very real logistical issues in some districts. And this gives those districts flexibilities based on the learning issues, based on the logistical issues, based on their community's acceptance of this, because it is going to be different around the state, to respond and to evolve this in a way that works for their communities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator Kent. Senate File 162, as amended, will be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. And for viewers, please share your comments with your respective senators, representatives, as ultimately we'll be voting on this. So please share the additional comments that you'd like, just as for members that have asked for questions and additional data, we'll ask staff and others to put that together. Next. We will have a meeting on Tuesday, February 5. That's been posted, and it will include a continuation of discussion from community partners, others that would like to share concerns, platform priorities for the legislature. And I believe we have 4 or 5 that have signed up thus far, and anyone else, please let us know. And actually, we are waiting for bills to arrive, and we know there's going to be a lot of them. There's several addressing safe schools that will be coming out soon. We tentatively will be hearing some of those next Thursday, but I can't say for sure. And, of course, some bills will go to Senator Torres-Ray's committee and policy, and we will ultimately see some of those with the financial impact. So just be aware we can't schedule too many bills because we don't have them before us technically, but we know it's a wave that is going to be hitting. We do look forward to hearing from the commissioner through the governor's office the actual budget proposal. We've had the overview. We have budget books, and each of you has a book in the cart right behind Senator Bonoff and Senator Stump and Nino. There's books, budget book, and if you'd like to take that home over the weekend, get to know it, and but please bring it back. And it goes through the various departmental requests, and we'll be reviewing those. If there's any line item that you have a question on, or for viewers as well, you know, contact our offices, or you can contact the department and through the Commissioner Casalias's office and ask for that information. We want to be as transparent as we can, and but I'll start with the members. You can start that inquiry right now. The budget book is right here at the table behind you on the cart, but please bring that back. For joint meetings, we had a very good one with the House earlier. We are hoping later in February we can have another one on special education. We're waiting for the auditor's report, but we're planning that. That's not set yet, but we're planning that. For other dates, probably the biggest one would be for having the presentation from the commissioner and staff on the specifics for the budget. And I know we have different proposals that you're working on. I've talked to some of you, and if you want to meet to talk about anything particular, please let me know, especially as it relates to scheduling, because it will get to be more of a logjam later in February, I promise. So that's where we're at. I've mentioned this 100-day or so journey, and we will be looking ultimately after break in early February at a rollout of a bill. Pardon me?
Early
April. And I guess we're all thinking early February. But early April, after break, we'd be looking at that. You're aware of what the time frames are for committee deadlines. Of course, in Senator Torres-Ray, where we have a lot of legislation that will get a lot of additional scrutiny, and I think at least half of us are on that committee, so we'll have that benefit for background. So that's where we're at. Are there any questions on where the division's at this point? Not? We stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.